Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, David Murphy, publisher of the National Black Unity News. We want to welcome to our, I might say, simulcast, because we are on Facebook Live as well as Blog Talk Radio. And, of course, we are on Zoom. And we only have a few people in the gallery tonight. And that's Brother Satari Jahi, who was our co-host. He will be sharing with us in a few minutes. And we also have our other soldier on there, Brother Vernon Streeter, who has some, I'm going to talk to him about some of the new things that he's doing. And we are expecting a few more guests to come in as we proceed. And, but again, we want to welcome to our podcast. It is still Women History Month. I think that's what they call it. But as far as we are concerned, as I am concerned, every day is Women's Day, Men's Day, Black People Day. You know, they categorize us, give us a month for Black history and a little time for this and a little time for that. But I think that we should celebrate each other every day. And again, I want to welcome everybody to our podcast. A lot of things are happening. And before we get started, I want to introduce you to our brother and fellow soldier, Brother Satari Jahi, who's going to open us up with some, start off with some positive information. Brother Satari, you got it, sir.
All right. Thank you, David. As we try to do each and every week, when we come on here, we do a reading from Daily Motivations, African American Success, a book written by Mr. Dennis Kimbrough, who also is the author of Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice. And reading for the day goes like this. Make up your mind. Mix a conviction with man and something happens. And that's from the late Adam Clayton Powell Jr., a former congressman, and they went through a lot to get him out of office. A very wise man once said, if you can tell me what you want, I can tell you how to get it. He was a wise man because he knew that each of us has the capability to achieve whatever we desire. The great majority of people who are dissatisfied with their lives suffer from not having decided upon what they want. A young pianist visited UB Blake, the father of ragtime music, and said, I want to write a musical score. Will you tell me how to go about doing it? You're too young, replied the great Black musician. Wait until you have a few years older. But, objected the struggling artist, you composed when you were barely in your teens. Yes, agreed Blake, but I did not have to ask anyone how to do it. The question that begs asking is, how do I know I have the ability to achieve what I want? The answer is self-evident. We do not seriously want things that we do not have the ability to achieve. We all seem to have a built-in governor that keeps us from wanting what is beyond our capabilities. The wide spectrum of occupations and accomplishments shows us the diversity of human desires. Excuse me. So what is the master formula for attainment? Simply make up your mind, know exactly what you want, and then do it. Today I will make it my goal to find a goal. That's so true. I remember when I first started doing taxes, you know, people said, you're not an accountant. How are you going to do taxes? I said, hey, I know people can say I can help people save money because they're not aware of the tax laws, and I know how to read. And if I can read, I can do it. And so I've been doing taxes for over 20 years and have helped a lot of people and still helping people out there. So the thing is, make up your mind, know what you want, and then go do it. And the Nike saying goes, just do it. That's all you got to do. Whatever you want to do, you can achieve. That said, David, back to you.
Yes, sir. Brother, we know we appreciate your reading, and we appreciate you, sir, for being so dedicated and putting in the work over the years. And again, we want to welcome everybody from Facebook Live as well as Blog Talk Radio. And we want to get on a few issues dealing with our sisters. And we have one of our guest speakers tonight just joined us, and we will be speaking with her shortly. But before we do that, I just want to give you an update with the National Black Unity News. If you don't know, you will know. The National Black Unity News is a publication by us and for us. And I always like to remind people that this publication comes from divine inspiration. And therefore, our mission is to uplift, liberate, educate our people to do better for themselves. And we do not put down any group or race of people. All we're trying to do is uplift our own to equal the playing field. And the National Black Unity News is a nationwide quarterly circulated newspaper. This publication has gone all over the world now. And we continue to grow. We continue to meet new people. And our writers, or what we call editors, are continuing to put great information out there that enhances people's quality of life. And so we are truly grateful for all of those who participate with us. Now, the unique thing about the National Black Unity News, as I said earlier, is by us as well as it's for us. And we are what we call self-supporting. This is a collaboration. This with a group of us has come together, not only put in our resources, our money, our information, our lifetime of experiences to share with you, our readers. So I encourage you greatly to go out and get a copy of this publication, share it with your friends and family, because this is a keepsake. And, you know, we just came out of Black History, and what we're doing with the National Black Unity News, ladies and gentlemen, is actually creating history. Never before has a publication went out all over this world with 50, 60 black people in it, sharing great, unique information. And type of information I like to tell people is this: it's good for yesterday, today, as well as tomorrow. You will not find the information that we have in the United States nowhere else but the National Black Unity News. So it's unique in so many ways that you need to find out for yourself. You can go to our website at www.tnbun.com. Again, this stands for the National Black Unity News.com, but it's an abbreviation. TNBUN.com. And with that being said, before we bring on our special guest, I want to see if my young brother can unmute himself. Vernon, can you unmute yourself, sir?
Yes, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Well, Vernon has some new, you know, like I say, we are constantly growing in so many different ways. And now my brother, you know, not only do he have his own TV station, but he's also working with the renowned brother in Baltimore City, state senator, years, a radio host for many years, award-winning radio host. And I think Vernon got some news that I'd let him share with us how he's intertwined with that brother as well. How you doing, Vernon?
All right.
Yeah, before you get started, I want to thank you for inviting me on the show today. Yeah, okay. I was happy to be on the 4 o'clock show today, thanks to this brother right here. This is how we spread the news, because we have people just like Bernie going out here, and we have so many tentacles to this paper now. It's amazing. I'm getting invited here, there, and everywhere. And just this past Saturday, you know, a lot of you know another renowned brother in Baltimore City, a brother by the name of Donnie Glover, had me on as a guest as well, and which he had, listen to this, ladies and gentlemen, this past Saturday was the 197th anniversary of Black newspapers. And the brother Donnie recognized that, and so he had a member from the Afro was there, a member from the Baltimore Times was there. There's a publication in the county called, I think it's the Northwestern publication. He was there as well. And we had a representative from the White House I think this lady was the liaison for media, black media, for the president. And she spoke a lot about what's going on and how they're trying to connect with our black publications. And so, yes, we are relevant. And we had a great conversation about the history of black newspaper as well as the future of black newspapers. And I love my fellow publishers. A lot of those publishers, I mean, publications have been around for some of them more than 135 years. And unfortunately, the original owners of the publication was more what some might call mission-driven. That's why they started these publications.
You can turn it up and come in.
Okay. Okay. And and they may not have the same passion as the original owners, you know, had, but nevertheless, the family members are keeping it going, and I give them kudos for that because we own less than 1% of the media. And for the future of black publication, thank God that a lot of our black publications is online now. Just about 2 or 3 years ago, you couldn't see too many of them on there. And I'm glad they wake up. It's never too late to wake up. And that is because, I don't know if y'all remember this company called Kodak. They used to make cameras. They were the big boys in the camera business. I'm telling you, they were giants. Now they're out of business. They're nowhere to be found because they didn't keep up with technology. And so, but the National Black Unity News from inception, you know, we was online from the beginning, and we will be there to the end, and whatever new technology is coming up. I may be up there in age, but when it comes to getting that information technology, I'm on it, old fella. And but getting back to my brother Vernon, man, you got some good news because I love to see growth. And so share with me what you're doing today, sir. Not just this day, but, you know, what's going on.
Working with L.Y., Senator Larry Young, with his radio show at was it Kathy Hughes station?
Yeah, WOLB, yes.
Yeah, 1010. So
Radio One, right?
You know, that's gonna help. Yeah, Radio One. That's gonna help, you know, that's gonna help us you know, just networking with him, Larry Young and his network, you know, trying to connect everybody. And you know, closely had David Murphy on today and with the newspaper. And we're going to also, you know, have him more and more so he can talk about the newspaper and, you know, just have a broader spread. I'm also working on some other connections, you know, behind the scenes. So I'm doing, you know, I'm working behind the scenes, you know, so, and I'm working on making a big connection with a black university. So just keep me in your prayers.
That's right. Yes. March on, soldier, until the victory is won. And again, a couple of weeks ago, I went to an event. I don't know if you checked my page out. I got a flyer circulating. I just started circulating today. We will be hosting the National Black Unity News event on April the 27th. And a young lady, she may come on tonight, Miss Catherine Trotter, will be hosting it for us. She's the young lady who hosted the event about 2 weeks ago that I attended. Well put together. Well attended. I mean, it was, you know, from the top to the, from the beginning to the end, I mean, it was so well put together, and people like myself, I truly enjoyed myself and met so many people. And she now allowed me to speak at the event, but they were very impressed with us as well. And so now she will be hosting events with the National Black Unity News all over the country. And so, like I say, you know, we're growing. You know, we got tentacles going everywhere. All right, so what I'm going to do now from this point on, we have a couple more people have joined us. One of our special guests, Ms. Cheryl Ricks, is with us. I see Dr. Nala Ali is with us. I think that's Kim and Cynthia is with us. And, of course, we got Brother Satari and Brother Vernon. And we're on Facebook Live as well as Blog Talk Radio. And this is Women's Month. I don't know if they call it Women's Month or Women's History Month. Somebody had to enlighten me on that. But I do know the country is celebrating our women. And as I said that in the opening statements, that we should celebrate our women every day. I can never say enough about the contributions our mothers, our sisters, our aunt, our daughters have made for us and continue to stand with us and will stand by themselves if they have to, because that's exactly what they've done over the years. Men has always been under attack, and they've been under attack as well. But when they had to, how the new people say, their foot on our necks, our women took the stand. They stepped up, standing, and they stood in the gap, and they held down the fort. And I'm always beholden to our women for the stand that they continue to take. And with that being said, how you doing, Michelle? Can you unmute yourself, please?
Hello, David. How are you?
I'm still here. Ain't planning on going away either. Yeah, but let me just say this. Cheryl Ricks is an author. I think she's a motivator speaker. If she's not, she should be. And and she's a podcast host. I happen to be one of the producers of her show. And, man, I met so many people. I mean, she does such a fantastic job talking with people about the things they do, and her show is called Your Gift Will Make Room for You. And that's exactly what she'd be talking about most of the time, the gift that God has blessed each and every one of us with, and how these people are using this gift to make a way for themselves. But Cheryl, I know you talk to other people about that, but how is that gift working out for you?
You know what? It's working really well. And it's working so well because I have people like you and other people that God has put in my life to help me to cultivate those gifts. Most importantly, help me to recognize the gifts that are inside of me and the value of those gifts when I share them with the world. And I can't give you kudos enough, Brother David, because a lot of the things that I'm doing today, it was because you say, Cheryl, you would be good at that, or you already doing it, or, you know, have you thought about doing this, because I'll help you. And I say, you know, Brother David, okay, as long as you're going to hold my hand and show me what to do and help me do it, I'm willing to take the steps. And it's been me, you, and Jesus. And, you know, we just, you're showing me the gift. You're allowing me to see that the values of the gift that God has given me, and you're helping me share them with the world. And I thank you. I can't thank you enough.
Well, you know, a lot of us say, you know, iron sharpens iron. And, you know, those who are of us who are involved with the National Black Unity News, that's why I say this publication comes from divine inspiration. And there's no joke about this. God had put me in the midst of so many great and wonderful people. I mean, this is, you know, nowhere in the world that I could assemble such a group of great people. I mean, I meet people. I mean, even today, man, this thing is going off the chain because I'm meeting people all over the world, and they recognizing us for the work that we have done and continue to do. And that's because each and everybody in this publication brings something to the table. And then when we put it all together, just like a recipe, when it comes out, you know, it's something that everybody can feed upon. And we have such valuable information in this publication. And so much love is involved with this publication. And that's what the people tell me. I love this publication because it comes off the pages when people start reading it. Now, Cheryl,
uh-huh.
Speaking of this, is it Black History Month or Women's Month? Or just how do they pronounce the title of that?
Well, when I saw it, I saw Women's History Month. Then
Women's,
I saw it Women's Month. So I believe it's Women's History Month. I could be wrong. But it's all about acknowledging women and our contributions and then what we do to make the world what it is.
Okay, since you say that and on that point, again, I'm going to ask you this. What are you doing? What is your contribution as a woman that you bring to the world and other women?
Well, I know that God has created me to be a unique and one-of-a-kind individual. And I know that he created all of us to be a one-of-a-kind individual. However, many of us have gone through so many things that we have not healed from, we have not overcome completely, or we have not gotten on the other side of the challenges that we're facing. And so God has allowed me to heal. He's allowed me to overcome a lot of things. And he's allowed me to learn who I am in him. He's allowed me to help other people learn who they are through who he created them to be. And the things that I do is helping people understand that we all need it and we all necessary. And the little pieces that I do, it's helping people to process the things that they've been through, help them to understand that the things that they have experienced and the things that they are struggling with is preparing them for the work that God created them to do. Now, you know, everybody has to go through some kind of refining fire to in order to become the one and only polished version that God created all of us to be. And some of us overcome those refining fires a little quicker than others. But eventually, if we stay on the potter's wheel, God get all of us to that place he have us to be at different intervals of our journey. And so I help people to know that in spite of what they've been through, they're still needed and necessary, and they have a great contribution, and they make a difference just showing up every day. So I do that through my writings with my books. One book I wrote is called Sister Circle, The Power of Sisterhood, A Guide to Becoming a Woman God Designed You to Be. And it's all about the journey of life and womanhood and how we women need to take that journey with other women. You know, none of us are islands unto ourselves. We all need help. We all need support. We all need the guidance that others can give us. We all need the roadmap that others have laid on the journey ahead of us. And so my whole purpose of what God has called me to do is empower women and help women to recognize that even though we struggle through a lot of hardships, a lot of pain and suffering, there are joys and there are highs and there are accomplishments that we still make even when we're going through challenging times. And we can, even in the midst of our different status of brokenness, even though we are going through different stages of our healing, we still can be a difference maker. We can still have an impact. We can still also help other people with what we've learned on our journey. And so the books is the greatest contribution that I've made thus far. The other book I wrote is called Rest in God, How to Keep Living When Life Gets Hard. It's all about how do you overcome life challenges and still enjoy your life while you're going through it. And I talk about how you need to create a good village. You need other people who have already overcome so they can help you overcome what you're currently struggling with or trying to overcome yourself. The other book I wrote is called Please Forgive Me Before It's Too Late. I Love You and I Need You in My Life. It's all about healing the relationships with the people you love and the people who love you and helping you to process those things that separate you from the love of others and the love of yourself, and helps you to understand that forgiveness is a very important piece to having a life you really would like to have. The other book I wrote is called The Sister Circle Spanish Version, and that allowed women and girls who speak Spanish to read the book and take their journey as well. In addition to the books I write, I do motivational speaking. I do workshops on the importance of good mental health and how important sisterhood is among women. I also help people write their nonfiction books. And I also I show them how to monetize their gifts, talents, and ability. A lot of us, you know, we're working our jobs, but we're not earning enough money to barely make our ends meet. And we wonder, you know, I got to get another job. I got to, you know, sell some more of my time. But there are so many gifts, talents, and abilities that God has given us. Like you said in his word, your gift will make room for you and bring before great men. He also said that he gave us the ability to gain wealth, not just to have wealth, just to have wealth, which is not just money, but other blessings. It's also allow us to do great things for the kingdom of God and the betterment of our world. So those are some of the things that I do to help the world be better.
All right. I appreciate that. Can you do us a favor? Can you put your information in the chat rooms how people can get in touch with you?
Yes.
And for those who are on Facebook Live as well as Blog Talk Radio, if you can't get the information, you can contact me, and I'll make sure that you get her information. And we don't you go anywhere, because we're going to come right back to you, but I'm going to introduce some other sisters on here. Then we're going to open up this conversation about women contribution and how we, us, can help each other, especially our women. And I'm going to move on. I'll be right back. Nala Ali, can you unmute yourself, please?
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing good. I hope everyone else is.
Well, I'm doing okay. Little sore here and there, you know, but that's what happens when you're on the battlefield, though. But look, you're another great lady that God has put in our circle. And you also are the author as well, and you have a lot of other gifts as well. I just asked Ms. Cheryl Ricks, what is her contribution to the world as well as to other women? I'm going to ask you that same question. What are your gifts and your contributions?
Started out at a very young age, helping women, helping young teenagers at a very young age, meaning I think I started helping women when I was in my early 20s. It was a call from God, because when you go through challenges in life and God sets you free, he wants you to reach back and help others. So I actually started taking women in my home, young girls in my home, my daughter's friends, women, counseling them, teaching them, helping them in any way that I could, getting them out of dire situations that they may be in, allowing women to understand, young girls to understand that they are somebody in life, that you were not brought here to be stepped on, taken advantage of, and to help them see that they are worth. They have a worth in their lives. So many women themselves, they don't have self-worth. So when I started helping women, I had no idea how God would actually take me on the journey to grow, to learn, to educate myself on so many different levels. I started out as a beauty control consultant, and I became a consultant. That being a consultant helped me not only beautify women on the outside, on the inside, but the outside. So I learned how to teach women how to hide their scars. A lot of women didn't love themselves. A lot of women actually wore makeup to hide themselves because they wasn't happy with who they were. So once I found that out, I educated myself and went to school and became a licensed esthetician to help women to remove the problems that they had on their skin, meaning dark circles around their eyes, scars from where they was maybe hit, or, you know, just any type of problems that they had on their skin. A lot of women couldn't stand the way they looked. They felt like that they were dark skin. I don't know if a lot of people realize that there are a lot of women out there who have a problem not accepting who they are in their own skin. So I was actually able to, and I still do that today, help women to overcome. That's what I'm called to do, to help women, children, men, and boys to overcome their insecurities. A lot of people are insecure, not only inwardly, but outwardly. So my call in life is to help people with the spirit, soul, and body to become unified as one. If you don't know who you are or accept who you are, it will affect you. You have a soul and you live in a body. And so I teach people through my workshops that I teach. I have my own radio broadcast called Truth Be Told. And I tell people, if you don't want to know the truth, don't want to hear the truth, Dr. Nyla Ali is not the person that you need to speak to. I've written several books as well. The first book is Free at Last, which is the autobiography of my life. I love Free at Last, and I'm really excited right now. I wrote the book in 2017, and now it's just out of the blue. Everybody's wanting me to do book clubs with my book. I'm really excited. So I'm traveling now. People are wanting me to come and sit with them to use my book in their book clubs. And to me, that's a great honor. So my second book is Freedom Within the Looking Glass. Freedom Within the Looking Glass as well has a lot of workshops in it to teach women what type of things that they can do for themselves to stay free. You know, sometimes we can become free, but then we allow circumstances and situations to come into our life, and it takes us back to where we were in the beginning. So I'm here to help you stay free. And I also wrote a book called The Triumphant Queen Journal. The Triumphant Queen Journal is a journal for women to write down not only their pain, but also to help them celebrate who they are during the pain, the process that they go through. The book has stories in it about Black queens who triumphed, African queens who triumphed and overcame in their struggles. And I have a line of China. I'm so excited about my tea set that just came in the mail to me today. So I'll be presenting that to women. I'm really excited about that. I started that process in 2008, right before COVID, and COVID froze everything. But now I'm excited. And the tea set, the China, is porcelain and gold. And it's actually a set of tea china to help women sit down with their women and their friends to speak about and talk about the things that they've gone through. It's such a beautiful piece of china. I love it so very much. I have t-shirts, I have jewelry, but everything that I create or God has called me to create is royalty. I want women and men to know that they are kings and queens, and I want it to exude from the inside out. I make myself available to people to let them know that I am here to help you walk through your process of pain, because pain does come in our lives. It shows up in many different ways, but we as women, we as men have to let people know that you can overcome your circumstance and situation. There's a lot of mental health problems right now, and I think a lot of it comes from shame and guilt. And I want women and men and boys and girls to know that even though you are going through something in life, you still have a worth. There's something, you know, I want people to know that you have a purpose, that when you came from out of your mother's womb, you was designed to do something in life, no matter how big or maybe how small it is, it still counts in life. A lot of people have counted themselves out. And I think it's because they're not surrounded around to help them overcome in their situations that they may find themselves in. They have people speaking negativity in their life. And this year for me, and I'm telling others that this should be a year of praise, a year of celebrating. Don't let negativity come into your circle. When you see it, I tell people to run from it, because that type of negative issue can bring you down and take you down through a place that you're not even called to go through. A lot of people go through things a lot because of their circle, because of the negativity that they hear, listening to negative things on social media. Social media, yes, it's good for some, but it is a lot worse for our young teenagers and young adults, because they tend to listen to things that can affect them as far as how they think about this. So they think that the celebrity status, they think that long hair, they think that the way they look on the outside and having all these fancy different things that they put on is going to, you know, make them better than someone else. There's a lot of jealousy amongst our young kids today. If you don't have too many followers, I heard that in school now, if you don't have that many followers, you're nobody. So kids are upset with themselves because nobody is following them. That is a misnomer, and it's a lie, and it needs to be spoken about. So I encourage young kids to not stay on social media, to tell their parents to not to allow your children to have access to social media, but for so many hours. Even young kids at such a young age in school, they look down on themselves because they feel like they're not enough. So my call in life is to continue to educate our melanated people. I love all people, but I'm here for our melanated people to let them know that you can rule and reign no matter what situation you are in life, that you are better than your problem. And I'm really just excited right now, you guys, because there's so many things out there. I can say on the news, you listen to this and you think, oh my God, the world is terrible. The world is terrible because you bring the things of the world into your sphere. Keep it out. Keep the negativity out. If you can't change what's going on, if you haven't been called, this is what I tell people, if you haven't been called to help in certain different circumstances and situation in your community, leave it alone. If you don't have the answers, if you feel within your knower that you're not supposed to involve yourself in these things, why are you feeding on it? People feed on negativity for too many hours. And this is my thing. If you're not praying about it, why are you listening to it? What is it doing for you? Is it benefiting you in any kind of way? I myself try to teach people that whatever your call is in life, that is what you should be surrounding yourself around. Read books. Go places that will stimulate you, that will help you grow in what your purpose is in life, and don't waste time on unnecessary things that's not even a part of who you are and who you were called to be from your mother's womb.
Hey, I appreciate that. And you continue to do great works and enlightening people with all the tools God had truly blessed you with. Now I'm going to move on. I hope you don't go anywhere because I'm going to come back to you as well. Sister Kim Williams and Cynthia Jahi, can you unmute yourselves?
Yes. Good evening. Yeah. How you doing?
Well, I'm still here, still going strong.
That's good.
But look, you know, I'm asking people, what are your contributions, you know, to women or to men or just to our society, to our children? And I know both of you, you're multi-talented in so many different areas. But one of the things I want to ask you, because you're on the front line with our children right now. And Cynthia, that's how I met you, and your husband, Brother Satavi Jahi. Y'all had a youth program, and a couple of my children, when you was at Wildwood Parkway, a couple of my grandchildren go to that school right to this day. And but I want to ask you a serious question, because this came to my attention in my family. Now, you both dealing with school-age children, and you see firsthand, when they come from their homes, some of the issues that they bring into the school system. And especially, I'm talking to all you ladies, and I'm not trying to be negative, but, you know, we all, not men as well as women, deal with a lot of issues sometimes. Sometimes it's just plain peer pressure. We don't know how to deal with it. Sometimes because we think everybody has this, we're supposed to have what everybody else has. And then some people think they have lack, and, you know, and then the most important thing, sometimes people just don't feel as though they are loved. But in your experiences, because, I'm talking about uplifting, providing solutions. Now, I often hear you on this podcast, you speak about the children in your school system, how you react to them and how they react to you. But the thing I'm talking about, what happened to one of my family members, is that this little boy, he's around 10 or 11 years old. And every time I turn around, he's getting expended or suspended from school. And he's constantly, they say, constantly fighting and disrupting the class. And we come to find out, because after talking to teachers, what one of the major problems was. He can barely read. And I know that's supposed to be taken care at home, but the family structure sometimes it's difficult for some children, not making excuses or anything, because this is my grandson. And but I wasn't aware of that. And you know what I used to do? I used to actually give him reading material to, you know, as presents. And not knowing that, you know, that he could barely read them, you know. And he used to cover it up. I said, did you read the book? Yes, yes, yes. And I should have drilled them on. But this, the other day, Cynthia and Kim, I gave him a few sentences to read, and he struggled with it. And it wasn't, you know, that difficult, you know, for him it was. And that's one of the major reasons why he's acting out. And another thing is I was aware of this because we have a gentleman in this past issue named Edward Evans. Those who are in the Baltimore may know of this gentleman because he runs a place called the school called Collegiate Boys something. And he takes these young guys and it's what they call one of them schools, not a specialty school. I forgot the name of the terminology of it. But he takes these young boys, and most of the boys, he said, comes to him because they was very disrupted in the public school systems. And he said one of the major problems when they come to him, they all have one major problem, and that's reading. They can barely read, and that's why they act up, because they're embarrassed, they rebel, and they just don't know how to respond because they're very frustrated and stuff. So Kim and Cynthia, while you are first line in the school systems right now, have you seen issues related to people who, because they don't have the proper reading skills, have you seen a pattern from your perspective where this is happening around you?
Yes. Cynthia, Kim has a cold right now. But yes, I have seen that, and I began to ask about particular children that where I was meeting in the third and fourth grade in particular. And I realized they didn't have anyone working with them one-on-one, and I just couldn't understand why they were at the situation they were in. So in having this conversation, I found out that these children were the ones that were affected because of the pandemic. They were in either the first grade or kindergarten when it happened. So now, you know, 3 years have gone by, and therefore they're in the third or fourth grade. So they were either on Zoom when it happened. And imagine your child being in the kindergarten on Zoom. Some children made it, some didn't. Also, sometimes children have other reading disabilities, but I did address it with several of the teachers, and they did put in for the IEPs, and some of them now are getting one-on-one. But yes, all these different things, the pandemic has affected a lot of children because parents were not prepared. And, you know, some of the children, parents had problems getting them on the internet. And then you have parents who are not avid readers or very good readers, and they sometimes have like a little embarrassment when they are, you know, able to read, or the grandparents are able to read either. So there may not be anybody in the child's household who either can read really well or has taken the time or the interest to help the child. But what we began doing is, I can't say this has been done in an organized fashion. It's kind of been like, putting pieces of the puzzle together to try to get those children and get them some one-on-one. When I'm in the particular classroom, and you all know that means I'm hitting and missing, I do sit down with them. Now, I had a child, like I told you about him a few weeks ago. I told him, I said, look, I'm in the classroom now for about 15 minutes. Let me sit with you and listen to you read. And he told me, no, I don't want you to hear me read. I want to read by myself. And I looked at him, I kind of sat down a little lower, and I said, look, I want to help you with your reading, okay? So go ahead and read. And let me tell you what happened. He began reading, And people, he struggled with the was, and all of that. All those.
Hey, 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 hey. What you doing? And what is this you looking at?
Somebody need to mute with their sight word. And
you are muted.
Well, what happened 2 weeks later when I came into his class, he walked over and gave me a hug. So he realized that I was trying to help him. And he realized that I recognized that he needed help. We have to do that. Now, with the child you're talking about, man, we need to get emergency services to him. I don't, you know.
And what is that?
I mean, if I need to meet with him, I'll do it.
No, but I mean, what, you know, do they have this in the school systems or is it outside the school system?
Yeah,
Cynthia offered her services as a tutor, which he offered plenty of people to assist them.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, in his school, they need to require an IEP. It's called an IEP, okay?
Okay.
And then they will pull in his parents, and they pull in the teachers, and they pull in different other specialists. I'm actually a sub, everybody. They pull in their specialists to figure out what it is that's causing him. Because it may be a vision problem. For some mm-hmm. children, they're not even seeing the words a certain kind of way. He might need glasses, or he might be dyslexia. Or it might be because he needs somebody to sit down with him to assist him with his phonics. It could very well be phonics. I want to share one more thing about phonics. Phonics is not what we didn't learn. Phonics is different now than what we learned when we were in school. It's much more intense with the way they're teaching phonics. They break the words down, the sounds down really well, much better than they did when we were going to school, to the point where our Hispanic children, our children from the continent, are learning how to speak this language because of the new way they're doing phonics. So I do want people to know that also. But they will bring in parents to an IEP meeting, either over the phone or in person, so they can meet with the students, parents, teachers, and the other staff members that are required to handle that particular topic. So help is there.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to ask a brother of David,
yes,
as a grandparent, or really, like, you have to go to the parents, tell the parents to please do that now, because it takes almost 3 months to a year to get some of that done. So your child is still going to be going too long without services.
No, but we pulling, you know, I have resources myself that I'm pulling out too, you know, outside
okay.
of that. You know, like I said, I know people in some systems. And there are a lot of men groups and tutors and stuff like that I'm aware of. So I'm gonna pull all stops out for them, you know. But at the same time, you know, like to hit them on the outside as well on the inside too.
Yeah, you know. I want to say one more thing too. It has to be consistent. It has to be consistent, and you have to meet him. I think a lot of the ladies will agree with me, all the educators will agree with me. You got to meet him where he is. So if it means that he has to start with a book with very few words, that's where he needs to start so he can get comfortable and begin to see some success in being able to read a sentence that only has maybe 5 to 8 words. You know what I'm saying? Because he has to begin to see that he can read. That's very important. Right away, that he can be able to enjoy a story, even if you read a sentence and he reads a sentence, whatever it takes. But that's what we have to do. And my services are available.
Okay, great, great, great. All right. And, you know, see, you know, like I say, sometimes we have to be open and honest about what goes on with our children and our children's children, what goes on in our communities. And I'm not going negative, but I just, you know, just for clarity, because I've been moved to, ladies, I want y'all to listen to this. I've been kind of moved to the point where even my article is about black men stepping up, taking our rightful roles in our families and our communities. And one of the most hurtful things that I see, especially in the black community. And I don't know what goes in all over the world, but, you know, I am worldly. And I say that because I deal with people all over the world, and we do have conversations. And one of the things I usually, you know, when I get to know some of these people that I'm talking with most of the time, I ask them a question. What happens when people come into your village or your community and disrespect the women, steal your children, and the men do absolutely nothing. And most of them say that when things like that happen, usually it's not just anybody just coming. Usually it's an army or something like that where they outgunned and things like that. But yet they still were fighting. And this is the question, because I'm dealing with a lot of men's groups. And like I said, my whole article, this issue, is around trying to unite our brothers together so that we can do better, so I can do better. And Cheryl, Dr. Ali, Kim, you the three ladies we have on here with us tonight. We have some brothers on here, and I hope they be honest and open too about some situation dealing with our ladies. And we would never know unless we ask these questions. And sometimes, you know, it may be some brutal answers, but you know, the truth will make us free. Now, I know I've been told by a multitude, and matter of fact, it was just too many women that I've known has been abused as children. This I know because I was a part of this, how men would play on women for their physical attributes. And then on top of all of that kind of stuff up, especially in the time I was coming up, black men caught hell, but women caught it even more. Both been less than men as far as our other societies was concerned. Now, I do know men have been beat down, beat up, and that's why they drugged out and had targets on their backs and everything else. But women seem to have it even greater than men. Even throughout slavery, they had to endure what happened to their men. They had to deal with what happened to their children. And on top of that, had to deal with what was going on with them as well. And I thank you ladies, because I know you ladies on here pretty good, that y'all are true. You're troopers and you're soldiers. And y'all have been through a lot of things in your personal lives, but at the same time, you find the strength, the courage to continue to fight on, not only fight on for yourself to overcome your own personal situation, but you standing up for other women. Cheryl, can you unmute yourself, please? Ms. Cheryl Rick, yes.
Yes, yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Now, Cheryl, you don't have to go in detail or anything like this, but okay. You say you operate a sister circle.
Yes.
And you say y'all talk about various issues sometimes.
Uh-huh.
And some of the things that I just mentioned, is that some of the things that often come up in y'all conversations?
Well, I think what comes up in our conversation more than anything, it's not a specific thing as much as it is women finally sharing what's going on in their journey of womanhood. There's a lot of similarity because as women, we have some of the same challenges. We have some of the same hopes and dreams, and we have the same, we all fall in the same pits. We have similar behaviors that get us caught up in situations and circumstances that don't serve us well. You know, it's the way we look for love, the way we want to help, the way we just want to serve, you know. And so it's more like each individual woman is sharing what's going on her journey of womanhood and life. And the things that most of us recognize when we're sharing with each other is that a lot of what one woman is going through, another woman's going through a similar thing. And we think many times it's just me. I'm the only one. Nobody will understand. You know, I feel stupid to even tell somebody this, but they don't realize until they start talking with each other and listening to each other that I'm you, you're me, that happened to me, that happened to you, happened to all of us. So that's really what it is. And it really helps us to finally get some insight into how the other women overcome what we're dealing with, or how that they achieve some of the things that we would like to achieve, or even try to get through the maze of challenges in life and stress and worry and responsibility and obligation that most women have to live with. So that's kind of like what happens in the sister circle. And it's also a place where women can just release it all. Like, man, it's like it just get all bottled up. And then it's such a relief, and then it's finally like, wow, you're getting some empathy, you're getting some unconditional love, you're getting some support, you're getting some encouragement, you're getting some hope, you're getting some, you know, you're getting some strength, you know, to keep going and knowing that, you know, you're going to make it. You know, we are our sisters' keepers, just like men are their brothers' keepers, you know, like that.
Dr. Ali, can you unmute yourself, please?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you mentioned that, you know, you say you told earlier that you help make ladies look good, women look good on the inside as well on the outside. And as you just heard me mention some things that from my observation that a lot of ladies have been through or still going through. And how do you know, after all of the atrocities that happened to them personally, happening to their families and on the jobs and all this stuff, and when they come to you or you in their presence, what kind of things that you do to help these women get through some of these situations?
Well, first of all, each woman is unique and different. So when I counsel or talk to women, it's individualized according to the experiences that they've had within their own self. No two stories are the same. So I help them according to where they are in their life and what their experiences have been. Everyone hasn't been abused physically. Some women have been abused mentally, and you have to help them get through the negativity that has been spoken to them throughout their lives, whether it was through their peers or whether it was from the parents, whether it was from, you know, a neighbor. So I help them individually, and I have processes that I go through with each woman. As I said, being a certified wellness consultant, a lot of these women have problems with their health, and so they have low self-esteem because they may be overweight and things like that. So me being a wellness consultant, I help them with their problems as far as them, their eating and their habits and things that they do with their diet, allowing themselves to overcome eating emotionally. I try to help women to be not emotional, but think rational. A lot of people don't have rational thinking. They think according to their emotions. And that is a big problem in the community today where people are feeling, you know, they want to express how they feel. I feel. It's not about how you feel, is according to the rationalization of thinking the proper way. Yes, you do have these emotions. Yes, you are experiencing this, but I want you to deal with it in another light. So I help these women overcome and not to emotion, not to focus on somebody pissed you off, not to focus on what your mother did, what your father, what this person did. I want you to overcome for yourself, because even though you went through those things, you still have a life to live yourself. There's a lot of people who still, somebody offended them 50 years ago, and they almost 60 years ago, and they're all their thoughts are still focused on what someone did to you. That's unforgiveness. I also add scriptures in. I offer them things biblically to help them have soundness of mind. You have a terrible way of thinking because you have been brought up a certain way and you think this way when it's really rotten thinking. It's like an apple that sits out on the counter. It begins to sit so long till it begins to rotten to the core. Some people are rotten to the core because they have allowed this stuff to fester in them for years. So I can say things, Mr. Murphy, because I've been through it. I don't think that there's a lot that I haven't been through as a child growing up. I know what it's like to walk in unforgiveness. I know what it's like to feel pain physically, mentally, in all different routes. So I thank God that I was able to overcome the things that I went through in my life. Some people even ask me certain questions about how can you love so-and-so? It's because of the love of God that lives on the inside of me. You know, people always forget about the creator. The creator, he created us. He knows how we function. He knows what it takes for us to endure. He says to endure like a heart, like a soldier. I remember one time I was at the altar. I was just crying. I was on my knees just crying. I mean, I was just poor. I mean, I was really just crying. And I never forget. I just feel like I heard God say that you're a soldier, stand up. And I remember it like it was yesterday, and I stood up, and I felt like I just became this very strong woman who can overcome anything. Now, don't get me wrong. I know that as soldiers in the army, whether it's a male or female, we get wounded in the battle. Yes,
right.
We can get wounded. Sometimes you might have to take a sabbatical, but I want you to get back in the fight. You may not be a frontline warrior anymore because you was wounded, but get in the middle, get on the back line. But I tell you to stay in the battle and fight for your sanity. Fight for your strength to stay and become who you was born to be, whether it's a
Amen.
Mother, whether it's a father, no matter what you were born, do it as great as you can. Do it as great as you can so that you can have a smile on your face and say, I did the best that I could do with the ability that I have within myself once I overcome. To me, you cannot help somebody overcome if you still walking in unforgiveness, if you still walking in things that you have not gotten over yourself, because you're going to put that vomit off on somebody else because you have not overcome for yourself.
I appreciate that. Cynthia, can you unmute yourself, please?
Yeah, hi.
How you doing? Now, you know you and I go a long way back.
Yes.
and I'm not going to put your business on the street, you know, anything like that. But I do know you've been through some of the toughest things with family. You was eyewitness to some things.
Yes.
That I can't even imagine. And you are reminded on a constant basis of what took place.
Yes.
Because the evidence is still around.
Yes.
And it goes from generation to generation. It gets deep sometimes. And but you seem to be, you know, I know you're a soldier. But if you don't mind, because, you know, what we're talking about here is solution-oriented. Yes, we have to deal with reality and life realities. But there's sometimes God put things on individuals. Now, he didn't do the thing, but I'm saying giving individuals, like Dr. Ali and Cheryl were saying, to heal thyself, to overcome situations. And is there anything you would like to share how you survive mentally, physically, and spiritually some of the things that you have been through?
I would say, well, just some people on the call would know, he's referencing, I think, my daughter being a victim of
domestic violence.
Domestic violence and a survivor. And she's now but 40. She was a domestic, she was abused at age 24. She was a beautiful dancer and model working for the Maryland State Juvenile System. And to make a long story short, she ended up being shot and paralyzed. But she's alive and well. And it was through prayer. It was through prayer and faith and love and laughter. Love and laughter. All those things got me through because I witnessed it. And my husband witnessed part of it. And just love and belief in pulling all those years of experience of working with the other children and the love and things that we gave them and the love that my parents gave all of us. We pulled all those things together to help continue to encourage my daughter, our daughter, and to encourage our son, a grandson, and to encourage ourselves to push forward. Thank God, this is the thing that's so crazy. She could have been killed, okay?
but she survived, and she's in a wheelchair, but thank God she has use of her arms, everybody, and that makes a big difference. She has her mind, her faculties, and I was able to just pray on that and communicate with her. Her being shot, she still was able to talk and think, and so we use what we say is a glass half empty or half full, right? We said, look, God, you can thrive. At one time, she gave me all her banking information. Mind you, do that for me because she was in the hospital for about a month. We thought she was going to be in there for 6 months, but she was in there for a month. And when she came out about 2 or 3 months after her being out of the hospital, I said, let me, you need to take your banking information and handle it yourself because you're quite capable of, you know, doing that. So it's always being, I would say, positive and knowing that God has something else for us. And while we were in New Orleans, because Tatawi took all of us to New Orleans, while we were in New Orleans, I'm going to tell y'all something. This is unbelievable, y'all. Every time we came out that door, but y'all believe that a total stranger prayed for us? Well, walk up to my door, and I don't care if we got off the floor off an elevator or we got on an elevator. They would say, excuse me, miss, I want to pray with you. Is this your daughter? I want to pray with your daughter. And I don't care where we were, y'all, every day. So we went out 3 days a week for her therapy, just to give you an idea. 3 days a week, we definitely got out the house because she had to go to therapy, okay, even on holidays. And I don't care if it was a cab driver. I mean, people just came from I don't know where. And they would pray. And that was encouraging. So I would say always seeing, like the other lady said, you have to see the positive. You got to reach for the positive. You wake up and you go into prayer. You have a smile on your face. And you just think the trip to New Orleans alone, the way that I took that trip, was to tell me, say, how about if we went there? We asked Sunshine, did you want to go? That's all the way across the country, y'all. We didn't have any family there. And I thought of it like this, y'all. I said, you know what? It's going to be a new place. It's going to be a new street. It's going to be a new transportation system. And that, all that newness can be an exciting challenge, something to look forward to. So I always encourage people to think of finding something to look forward to. Another thing I want to say real quick, my sister sent a lot of gospel music down that I hadn't even heard. And you all probably already had heard all of it, but I wasn't into a lot of the gospel music. She sent a lot of gospel music down. We played that. We prayed. We got out. Talked to the sightseeing. We just took a new leap of life. We used that experience to make to keep life exciting. And we were thankful. We were thankful for every single doctor. Oh, my God, I'm going to cry, y'all. Every single person that Tommy introduced us to, let us use their car. So it became a village of people that helped us while we were there. I didn't know any of them people. And one time, a lady just had to stay with my daughter, a total stranger, somebody that Tatawi knew, but she was a stranger to me. So you have to sometimes step out on faith. We had to move some things around. I had to ask this lady to stay with my daughter, who had only been, disabled for, at that point, 2 months. And I had to leave and take care of business. But you have to have faith. And I had to have faith that the person he asked, you know, said that, you know, because she stayed with her, that would work. So I would say keeping faith, finding joy. Put on some good music, y'all. Don't be scared to put on some good music. I'm not saying it all had to be gospel music. Put on some good jazz. Put on, what's that thing I like? Put on some good strap, you know? Put on something good. Put on something good that's going to uplift you and motivate you. And get out and get some fresh air. Get out and get some fresh air. Go down a different street. Cut through a different park. Do something that's going to uplift you, uplift your family, uplift that loved one, and give them hope. Keep hope alive. That's what Jesse Jackson said. Keep hope alive.
Amen. Well, you know, I ask these questions because I've seen firsthand strong black women overcome so many, I mean, astronomical. Like you say, I don't know men could you know, because I said we made up a little different from you all. But, I do know this, that most men could not, I guess that's the way God made it, could not, I guess he put a little something extra into you all to make you deal with so much for so many. And I just want to personally thank the ladies on here who shared this afternoon, this evening with us. See, out there, see, I always tell you, words do not come back void. You never know who's listening on Blog Talk Radio, who listened to us on Facebook Live. Just may hear you ladies speak about some of your experiences, and it would alter their lives. See, I do know how powerful these words are because, like I said, I'm the publisher of the National Black Unity News, and I get a lot of feedback from a lot of people. And one of the things the feedback is about, because we're open and we're honest. You know, we're willing to share and uplift somebody else in spite of what we go through. And I just want to personally thank you ladies for your participation this evening. Now, I left my brothers out intentionally. But if they would like to say something to our ladies, a word of encouragement, or in my case, which is so overdue, apologize to our ladies for the atrocity that we men have put upon them after all they've been through. And we can be just as cruel as outside forces. And so, you know, ladies, you know, because of your strength and because of the strength of the ladies in my life, helped me to overcome many situations. And I just want you to know that your suffering, your pain, your hurt was not in vain. Because of your tenacity, young men and young women is able to carry on. And most men would always tell you this, if they're honest about it. There is no greater love outside of God than a mother's love or a woman's love. None. Can't even compare you outside of God. And so, you know, I want to thank, and I see my sister, she coming in and out, Dr. Ortiz. And this is another lady of strength. I don't know if she want to speak about it, but she's constantly, I think Dr. Ortiz is what we call a matriarch in her family. And she has a large family, and every time you turn it around, because, you know, we talk once in a while, this is happening, not to her per se all the time, but she's been through a lot of things that happened to her personally, but to her family members, her children, her grandchildren, her nieces, her nephews, had all been under attack in one form or another. And she's the one that they look up to. And she's the one that does the ministering, the healing, the caring, and the sharing and everything. Dr. Ortiz, I just want to thank you for that. And she does that the same way she does with the paper. You know, take care of our articles and everything else. And our brother, do you all like to say anything to our lady before we depart? This man, Vernon, Dr. McKenzie, Brother Haki, Satawi, anyone? Okay. You have to unmute yourself if you want to say something.
I'd like to thank the all the women for sharing. You know, how they share their talents with the community. Information is much needed because, like, a lot of people, you know, keep to themselves. And I think by the women tonight talking about the things that they do and how they share, you know, share the gifts and talents that the Lord has given them, I think if someone is listening, and they hear the way that the Lord can touch them, or, you know, they can get help, I think they'll reach out. Because people are always seeking, you know, ways that, you know, seeking information, resources, sometimes consciously and unconsciously, you know, how if they're dealing with issues and stuff, how they can help themselves and get help to try to get out of what they are, because I don't think nobody likes being in dire situations. You know, sometimes they feel helpless, but still, you know, sometimes they say, oh, if I just had somebody I could talk to, if I just had some kind of way that I can get help, then, you know, maybe it's a chance for me. And I just want to thank all of the women tonight were just sharing, you know, sharing their hearts and sharing their thoughts and their experiences with us. Thank you.
Thank you, brother, for sharing. Brother Haki?
Yes, greetings, good evening. It's been an honor to hear you and to know you all ladies that are on here this evening. You know, it's been a blessing coming and hearing your words each and every week, so I appreciate you. I enjoy learning different aspects of your life and just to know that there are Black women out here who are solid and they are in standing in their purpose and continuing to do the work, and that's a great and mighty work that we have. And so I just say kudos and honor and respect and Asante for your continued service to fallen humanity and continue to you know, do the work. So I'm here. If you need anything, of course, let a brother know. So I always try to applaud and support our Black women always. Thank you.
Brother Haki, I want to thank you too, sir, because, you know, you're working with the Shiro's and, you know, the sisterhood in that area. And so you're a brother, you know, not just talking about you doing something about, as well as burning everybody else. Brother Satara, you have your hand up, sir.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
Yes, I can hear you. Yeah.
I thank my wife for sharing parts of our story. That was a tremendous thing. And then part of it when it went down that day, when our daughter was assaulted by her ex-husband, when the police arrived on the scene, they came in and they pointed their guns at me. And, you know, that really set my grandson back, because he was like, you know, hey, my mother got shot, and then y'all gonna shoot my granddaddy. And so, you know, it was just a whole lot we went through. And I'm just glad that my wife was able to step out on faith, and we went to New Orleans because I went to college there. And that's when you really find out who your friends are. A good friend of mine, Kurt Pellerin, who was vice president of NAACP when I was president of the college chapter, took us in his home, let us stay there, and we paid him a minimum amount of rent. And, you know, that it was a tremendous journey. And they had a chance to experience the New Orleans culture. And just that helped us a lot with our growth and our development, because our grandson never received any therapy. His therapy was love. And so, you know, we continued to love him and love our daughter. And It just helped us a lot as we move forward with our life journey and our life struggle. So, again, kudos to my wife for taking the time to open up and share our story, and for sharing how to be able to teach our children, because it's important that our children don't, no child gets left behind. It's very, very important. So I just want to say again, kudos to my wife, and thank her for sharing her story. And hey, back to you, David.
Okay, I appreciate that, brother. Thank you. You've been on the front line for a long time yourself. Dr. McKenzie, anything, sir?
Yeah, just real quick. Brother David, thank you. And I'll just say this to the ladies. You are women. I was sitting here thinking about this. You are women. You are warriors. You are all our organizers. You are the epitome of maturity. You are awesome. You are our natural nurturers, and we thank you for all that you do and have done in our community. Keep on being strong. Keep on being the strength of our community. We love you, Black men.
Man. And ladies, I just want to share this, you know, in closing. You know, yesterday is gone. But, you know, the memories, the pain, the hurt, the disappointments in life sometimes occurs with us. And you have demonstrated in your own personal lives that only did you have to endure, but you still had to carry on. Because y'all have something inside of you. See, it's not always about you. It's about your loved ones, the sacrifices that you make on a consistent basis. But I'm going to say this. You know, God hears our cries. And it's important that we tell our stories and we start communicating with one another. I'm talking about us brothers as well as sisters. Because we all come from, especially being black, some deep-rooted things that have happened to all of us. And you know that old saying, hurting people hurts people. So we all constantly have hurt each other because of our DC to pain. Because one of the reasons why we did that, because we did not to open it up. We have heard time and time again that how we bottle stuff up. That we explode like volcanoes sometimes. And that's why I have Brother Leroy, I'll need your help on this, and Brother Satabi, as well as Brother Haki and Vernon as well. I'm going to be assembling, and me and a whole bunch of other brothers, all of these different black men groups together, their fathers helping fathers, men helping this, and black men unifying and everything else, black professional, 100 black men, all of these groups, art social, and all of these groups. I think it's time for a summit where we can all sit down and have a powwow together so that we can come back and take our right. Yeah, we're doing things on individual basis, but we know this is the village. It takes a collective effort. You know, we have Reman and all of you. I'm talking about we just have so many different outlets out here, but we need to connect with one another. Just like our sisters have been connected with one another, because that support that they showed us is vital in healing. And we have to man up because we need some healing as well. And ladies, tonight, I thank you so much. Because it's not easy always opening and sharing, especially when it's personal. But you know, when you do share, it's the same thing as a testimony. It's the same thing when people do when they're in the NA program, AA program. It's a reason when you share, because in your sharing, other people get healed. Other people find solutions to some of their deep-rooted issues. And if you continue to share, but, you know, it's not all about, like my sister said, Dr. Ali said, it's not all about crying on each other's shoulders all the time. It's about solutions. We have to weed some of this negativism out. Yes, like I said, yesterday is gone. And tomorrow is not here yet, but this day, you know, we have to work on what we can better ourselves this day, our children, our family, and our communities. If we pull our resources together, and I said, I'm going to try to unite the men together. Women are already doing it. Can you imagine one day, just one day, when brothers can come together open and honestly, our women can come together open and on, and we can have this dialogue with one another. Heal these deep-seated things and these old customs or situations that we were brought up in. Because a lot of that stuff was not good for us. And sometimes it's not always us the perpetrator. It's just our conditions that we was put into. And I do believe, because the National Black Unity News has already demonstrated that, how we went all over the world and healing people mentally. Just looking at the publication sometimes, it brings hopes to people. See, God has given us that kind of power. So, ladies and gentlemen, again, especially to our ladies tonight, I want to thank you so much for being open and honest. And I want to thank you for so much for what you already done, what you're going to do. And brothers, man, y'all soldiers, you know, and sometimes our women need to hear from us that we do care. We're willing to stand, even die for you, just as much as you had stood and ready, was willing to die for us. And I have much love and respect for everybody on here tonight. And just so you know, when you communicate with one another, you know, take down all the facades, the doctors, my education and my war stories, and just be open and honest with one another. I'm going to tell you, it will make a difference. With that being said, we're going to be on here tomorrow night, 7:30. And, you know, it's paper time. For those who haven't gotten your articles in yet, please do so, because it's getting near to the time. And, you know, keep each other in prayer. And I just want, you know, if you don't know, Pastor Leroy McKenzie left us, I think it was last Monday. And I think they're ready to do the funeral arrangements.
Steve Turner.
Yes, Pastor Steve Turner, yes.
Yes.
God be with him. Yes. And also, if you don't remember, there's a guy grew up in Emerson Village with, he was in the paper on several issues, a Muslim brother by the name of Omar. And Bilal Omar. And he's a, what they call him, Amin, the preacher, and he's in a hospice situation right now. And keep his family in prayer as well. And you see, like I say, we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, and who will be here today and gone tomorrow. But while we have this day, you know, let's just try to do a little better with each other. You know, show a little bit of love, because love is a powerful force. Like somebody just said, just a smile sometimes, just a kind word sometimes. Just pick up the phone and call somebody. Say, hey, how you doing? And you'd be surprised what that do for somebody. And I thank each and every one of y'all. And I don't mean to be glum or something like this, but, you know, sometimes we need to have these type of conversations, because people have been through some serious stuff. But yet, they still here, still standing, and to me, it just shows that there is still hope. And if we rely on one another, care for one another, all things will pop, especially with God on our side. Because if it had not been for God, all of us can be quite frank about it, we would not be here today. We would have been gave up or gave out if it had not been the strength and love of God in our lives. And we always had to give him the honor and the praise. But you have to be receptive to that love. And the same thing with and one important thing, we must learn to forgive for your own sake. And it's a powerful tool to give. You know, that's why I say sometimes, man, when you dig deep, some of the words that we use and some of the wisdom of God, man, is so powerful if we open our eyes, our ears, and our hearts. So I hope to see you tomorrow night, 7:30. I will be calling on a lot of you because, you know, we all had these little things about ourselves that we need to overcome. And one of my things is that telephone. I love talking to you, but I don't like picking up the phone to do so. I don't understand that. But maybe I need to sit in somebody's chair. When it comes to that, but I'm going to be doing that now, because that's where my treasure lies, and I've been doing it all week long, and man, it's so amazing when you connect with your family members, your old business associates, your old friends and stuff. Man, just pick up the phone and say hey to them sometime. Powerful stuff, ladies and gentlemen, and you'd be surprised how big your circle really is. With that being said, I'm gonna say good night to you all. And I'll be calling on you, because right now, tomorrow ain't promised to none of us. So while it's still your day, I'm going to see if I can put in a little bit more work and keep your brother in prayer. I'm talking about David Murphy, me. All right?
We got you in prayer always.
All right. Much love and respect. See you tomorrow night. And take care.
Good night.
Pick up the phone. I'm here.
Amen.
All right. Y'all good take care.
Good night, everybody.
All right. Take care.
Good night. Goodbye.